the global context of what's happening now is what I feel unprecedented, at least in this age or yuga of humanity. And that is basically an attempt, I'll say it bluntly, at global tyranny. There's been lots of people from Attila the Hun to the Roman Empire to Hitler who have attempted this in the past, but certainly didn't have the means to achieve something truly global in their ambitions. But today we have technology and we have a level of centralization of wealth and power and corruption that has enabled an unprecedented attempt to destroy freedoms and rights globally. And the pretext for this, which has been in the works for quite a long time, and this is the result of decades of 24/7 think tanks and strategies and planning and scenario planning, what we're seeing now is the culmination of the most ambitious tyrannical project ever conceived by human aspirants to totalitarianism. And the pretext for this, which is the perfect pretext, basically, it's so much better than the terrorism boogeyman or some nation as a boogeyman. It's a microbe, and it's actually quite pathetic that humans are succumbing to fear of this.
Hi, this is Bruce Lipton, and you're listening to Planet FM.
Kia ora, greetings, and welcome to Planet FM 104.6. I'm Tim Lynch, and I trust that you are doing well. I invite you to stay with me over the next hour as we discuss and find ways to take care of our unique and magnificent green planet Earth. On the phone this morning, I have Joe Rafici, and he's from Nelson, originally from the USA, and Joe's an artist, piano player, radio host, and I'll let Joe fill in the gaps for you. So, kia ora, Joe. How are you, brother?
Kia ora, Tim. I'm great. How are you?
I am very well, too. I'm very much looking forward to sharing with you. Now, we are getting a few blips through the telephone, and I wish to apologize to my listeners. I cannot believe that a spark in New Zealand has still not yet cleared up his act in 2021. However, Joe, so glad to hear from you. You're all okay?
Yes, I'm personally okay in the midst of lots of things that arguably are not, but I'm okay.
Very good. Joe, can you give an overview of what's happening, maybe starting with what you perceive as happening from a global perspective?
Well, this is the context that unfortunately, if one doesn't perceive the global context, one really cannot evaluate what's happening locally or even in one's own country as a whole. So the global context of what's happening now is what I feel unprecedented, at least in this age or yuga of humanity. And that is a global, basically, an attempt, I'll say it bluntly, at global tyranny. There's been lots of people from Attila the Hun to the Roman Empire to Hitler who have attempted this in the past, but certainly didn't have the means to achieve something truly global in their ambitions. But today we have technology and we have a level of centralization of wealth and power and corruption that has enabled an unprecedented attempt to destroy freedoms and rights globally. And the pretext for this, which has been in the works for quite a long time, and this is the result of decades of 24/7 think tanks and strategies and planning and scenario planning, what we're seeing now is the culmination of the most ambitious tyrannical project ever conceived by human aspirants to totalitarianism. And the pretext for this, which is the perfect pretext, basically, it's so much better than the terrorism boogeyman or some nation as a boogeyman. It's a microbe, and it's actually quite pathetic that humans are succumbing to fear of this. If you have a fear of somebody's tanks rolling across your border, I think that's probably a more excusable level of fear that one has, but for the human race to be cowed at this moment by the story of some microbes into giving up their rights and freedoms is unfortunately not very commendable. So the pretext of using germs or a disease as a means of controlling and surveilling and removing democratic freedoms and human rights is so easy, especially when you have the total corruption of mainstream corporate mass media to help you do it. And they are the linchpin. Let's make no mistake. None of this would be possible if you had a shred of real journalism left in widespread mass media.
Well, I concur 100% with you, Joe. This is basically the big clampdown, and we've known about this for many, many years that it was slowly coming. We realized that the bankers were having a pyramid of power, and they were up at the top, right at the pinnacle, and they were slowly, slowly endeavoring to lock us down, and they've found a way, and they've used it, this invisible challenge that we've got here. And I know that we're getting more and more information to essentially say that the numbers of people who have the flu globally have just flattened out, whilst everybody who's suffering supposedly from COVID has skyrocketed, and there's only a few major voices speaking about it. And I want to bring in Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Because of his connections to both John F. Kennedy and his father, Robert Kennedy. He has been just one of the major speakers to say there are so many things going on, but I'd like you to follow through and tell the people that we can listen to be able to get a real clear understanding of what's going on. And I want to thank you in the meantime.
Well, yes, that's certainly, you've named a primary beacon of sanity and morality and ethics in RFK Jr. He has worked tirelessly and selflessly, and he, of course, is definitely someone to listen to. Del Bigtree on the high wire, all these doctors, Dr. Andrew Kaufman, Judy Mikovits, Rashid Buttar, there are tons of people out there. There's actually the World Doctors Alliance that includes 100,000, I can't remember exactly, but thousands and thousands of doctors, nurses, and scientists, as well as lay people fighting this. So when you see a prominent figure who is being savagely attacked, tempted to be discredited by the establishment and by mainstream mass media, that alone is a signpost that,
yes,
that someone who has everything to lose by what they're saying and nothing to gain, certainly. So why would they be saying it, as opposed to those shills who are on the payroll, who are on in the establishment ladder of promotion and perks and grants, etc., who are attacking them? So that's basic common sense. They have, those shills have everything to gain by continuing the establishment or government or parasite class narrative, as opposed to those who have everything to lose, who have credentials equal to or vastly exceeding their attackers.
Yes, I hear you, and I thank you for that, Joe, because it is. It's like the New Zealand medical doctors. The interview that I had with Sue Gray 2 weeks ago, there's a lot of doctors in New Zealand who are just totally afraid of speaking out because they're going to lose their license to practice. And again, this fear meme has come back again, and they're frightened. And and so then there's this other thing, is, you know, to be brave, to stand up, to really have a spine in this day and age. I mean, you have to be a really unique and special person. And yet, you know, we're wanting 5 million New Zealanders to stand up.
Yes, and I have to say, and I'll get to this more later, Tim, that I have real optimism about New Zealand for many reasons, some of them intuitive and some of them more logical, let's say. And we're asking for that courage, and I think that, you know, like with all tyrannies or all shifts of circumstances, everyone thinks that something flips overnight. It appears to flip overnight, like the Berlin Wall or Soviet Empire or any of these things that kind of seem to fall instantly. But really, it was something building incrementally until it reaches a critical mass. And I think it's just a matter of time now that a critical mass will be reached, well, globally, eventually, or in each country in their own time, but certainly in New Zealand. We have been blessed in New Zealand with some extra time. We have these extra few months before this government attempts to roll out the vaccine en masse to the general population. And in that time, even if people do not watch any alternative media or hear any, or look at any alternative stories or narratives purposely, they're going to hear from friends, family, by accident. They're going to be hearing the stories about the casualties from these novel experimental genetically manipulating vaccines. And hopefully by the time this government attempts, in quaking boots hopefully, to attempt this mass rollout, there will be a very, very significant number of people who will simply say no.
Thank you for this very wise words, Joe, because I have seen through Facebook, even Facebook, we're squeaking them through, people lying in hospital beds. In one case, a young woman who said, yesterday I got a Johnson & Johnson injection and I'm suffering from all sorts of maladies, saying, look, they've had blood clots, they've had certain seizures, and it's coming from all sorts of countries. Mm. And it's horrendous. And I know that even on ukcolumn.org in Britain, there's more and more evidence coming to the fore, and we've got to be on top of this. They are calling the British government a government of occupation. That's how far they've gone at the moment, and we haven't yet gone that far, and as you say, because we've got time, because the rollout here has been a lot slower, and that's a major blessing in so many ways, particularly if we've got our frontline people on the borders there, and our police and ambulance people. Well, we don't want them taking a shot or a jab, and then we lose them all through some sort of health circumstance. As you say, let's take in a breather and watch what's developing overseas and actually see how many health statistics keep increasing, and then we can then make an assessment.
Mm-hmm. And you have to look at the campaign strategy of the rollout. Taking out, well, obviously they need the, it's logical for them to say that they're going to protect the border, people that meet foreigners at the border, etc., but also, you know, doctors, nurses, police, other kind of frontline people, taking them out might be critical to prevent a rebellion against this. But also then using other groups, which they're in the next order of precedence to take out, would be the indigenous people, because they're more likely to rebel against this, and the elderly who have been around the block a time or two and have seen tyranny before, and a lot of immigrants, of course, have seen tyrannical governments more than New Zealanders ever have. So taking those most dangerous groups out first would be an obvious campaign strategy.
Yes, well, you see, what I've noticed in my 72 years, and I look back and I see the freedoms that we once had in this country, and I notice a whole lot of changes happening, where once you could actually communicate with your member of parliament in a very civil way, today it's not happening as much. Government is more constrained. It's more difficult to get to your local MP, to their electorate office. And it's only through looking back we see how things have totally altered. Prior to 1984, New Zealand, in many cases, owned itself. But then we sold off all our crown jewels to the corporates, who are clapping their hands, and yet the young ones who have just been sort of born from the late 80s or into the 90s and now in their mid-20s and 30s, they don't know, they haven't got the information to understand how it was. And now they're just short of wisdom. They've got a certain amount of knowledge, but they haven't really seen the betrayal on many levels that has happened over the last 45 years or so either. And so anyway...
Exactly. I mean, they've been born into it, and unless they're students of history, they have no basis of comparison.
That's the truth, and that's what we need to get across. And this is where we need mentors, Joe, and you're a perfect mentor. You know, we need many of you just to lay it out and allow people to make their own minds up once they get the information that is the truth.
Yeah, and as I say, Tim, that I understand. I mean, I have real understanding that if you were born into this situation, if at the time you were born, you were immersed in screen technology immediately and mass media, corruption, from the time you came into this world, I can totally understand where many people are at. It's almost not their fault, although it's always, in the end, it's always our responsibility to wake up and to be empowered. And in a sense, in getting into even bigger context of this, in a sense, it's all perfect and it's all totally understandable and logical where we are now. We have in the West, in the nations where we have alleged democracy and a level of freedom to actually change things, no matter how difficult, we do have that ability in Western democratic countries. We have stood by for decades and watched our governments and the elites and the wealthy and powerful and corporations abuse and obliterate weak or disempowered or third world countries, Latin America, Middle East. We have watched this happen all over the world for decades. And it's like that old saying saying about the Nazis, first they came for the Jews.
That's
and
right.
The Catholics and the,
yes.
And the mentally handicapped, but I wasn't one of them. And then finally, there was no one left, and they came from me. And that's precisely what happened. We have allowed this to go on for decades. Therefore, we are absolutely culpable in letting this go, come to this point, because it is only because of our acquiescence and apathy and not interfering with that agenda that it has come to this point. And it takes what it takes to wake us up. And that's what we're facing. So it's all perfect. And, of
Thank
course,
you.
We're in this, whatever you want to call it, the age of Aquarius or a state of elevating consciousness right now. And so if we do not rise to the level to which all of this perfect happenstance is trying to push us, we will be casualties. We're either going to surmount this mythical evil that's happening right now, or we have the choice of being a casualty. And that's precisely what we're going to see.
Thank you. Well put, Joe, because we're in the bottleneck to a great awakening. And it's been forced upon us now where people thought, oh, well, I can be complacent yet. I can still do what I want to do, get my indulgences and be distracted. But now everybody is being herded down the cattle chute.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden they're starting to raise their heads and think, hey, where's this all leading? Because they know that at the end of a cattle chute there's a big, huge injection waiting to give them the shot. And so what it is, complacency now is not the name of the game. It's participative democracy, and we get in. I mean, I have no doubt you're on duty, Joe, 24/7, because I've been on duty for 24/7 as well. Whenever a situation happens, bang, you're there to give positive advice or to be able to support somebody or help somebody to get an understanding, etc., of what's happening. And this is what we need now, is we need real conscious people to step forward, and even the ones who have been reticent and have been lazy, guess what? This is now our time. We're here for a particular purpose. New Zealanders have had their cake and eat it in this lifetime. We've got a magnificent country and some profound systems in place to allow a person to go and enjoy themselves. But now we're having to pay for our freedom, for want of a better word, to make sure that our kids and our grandchildren have...
Yeah, eternal vigilance is what we have not had. I mean, certain of us have been trying to stem the damage for decades, and as I know you have enormously, and others have just, gone along with the perks and not looked at the downside at all. But now is the time when everyone, regardless of one's apathy or trying to disengage or trying to be superficial about life, now everyone will face a line in the sand. And that line in the sand is where you decide your own personal level of empowerment or disempowerment and your subjugation to authority or your sovereignty. And that's where everyone now is being forced to go. So it is a defining moment, and as I say, a very necessary moment based on the history of the last few decades and what we've done and not done.
Oh, good. Thank you, Joe. Yes, personal sovereignty. Now, one of the things that once upon a time, well, when I was born, I was christened at a church. Not that my parents were really Christians at all. They were, I think, an atheist and an agnostic. And I was a wanted child. They loved me, but they did the right thing. And what it is, they let us find out a little bit about spirituality. I went to Sunday school, and there's something to do with soul, but since then, for the last 45 years, the churches have just sort of walked away from everything. They're so distracted in their own right. But what I'm saying is that there was some sort of spiritual understanding, and it comes to sovereignty. It comes to what we've got in our heart and how we connect with family and community, etc. We need to support the individual to recognize that our body, I am all what I've got. I'm all I've got. You're all you've got. No material things or anything mean an iota in the essence of who we are. It's what you have in your own body temple. And this is the thing that's been actually attacked at the moment. And we have to keep the sovereignty. Did you want to talk a little bit about this?
Sure, yeah. It's a multi-level attack at the moment. And it is a mythical level battle, as I said. This is never in this age of human life, the last 26,000 years or whatever we know of this yuga, we have never experienced this level of attack on not just the physical body, the way which many tyrants concentrate on, but an attack on the human spirit, the human soul, and let's be clear, the ability of the current generation to advance in consciousness. Because we're not dealing with tanks on the street. We're dealing with some very insidious technology. We're dealing with screens, which induce a hypnotic state. God knows how much subliminal hypnosis is going
yes.
on below the overt propaganda on those screens. We have no idea, although I'm pretty suspicious of the level of deep hypnosis going on, because I've been in New Zealand since 1985, and I know this as a practical nation of common sense, very down-to-earth people who can think straight and have basic common sense and had a healthy contempt for politics, or politicians anyway. And now I see a deep, deep sleep and a deep, deep lack of common sense or willingness to put two and two together or willingness to see the obvious when put right in front of one. So I'm very suspicious that the screen age since the year 2000 has created this situation. And the fact of the pollution of our air, water, and food, and the chemtrails, and the full-spectrum attack on body, mind, and spirit, and blocking the pineal gland with substances like fluoride, that this is all basically the most evil attempt I've ever seen to prevent human evolution, the spiritual evolution of humanity.
Yes, well, it's a full-spectrum attack, and the assault on humanity at the moment, Joe, knows no bounds, and evil has got no limits to the degree there, but in the end, if evil thinks it's going to lose, then it will pull the whole ceiling down on everybody, including themselves, just to make sure that the good gets taken down no matter what. And so,
I agree. I agree that that would be their last ditch attempt because, well, we haven't even clarified the context of what we're saying, really, Tim. I mean, we are talking about, if people don't realize that Bill Gates and the World Economic Forum billionaires and many others in the Bilderberg Group and the Trilateral Commission and Club of Rome and all of these elite secret organizations have been planning depopulation for a long time. If they don't realize that, that's another context that makes it impossible to understand what's happening now. So the vaccines are a perfect depopulation weapon, but it goes beyond that. They have many more things in their bag of tricks if that fails. They have electromagnetic frequencies. They have this infrastructure they're putting in of millimeter microwaves within the 5G spectrum. and they will use, they'll pull out and use whatever they have because that's how criminally insane these people have gone. I mean, when you hear someone like Klaus Schwab say, you will,
yes,
you will owe nothing and you will be happy.
No.
I mean, how can anybody serious take that man seriously? They need to come in a van in a white straitjacket and take him away. So it's as simple as that. But if people actually swallow that, I don't know where we're at.
Yes, well, Leonardo DiCaprio was with him, same with Joe Biden and the same with Kamala Harris. I've seen them on videos coming from the World Economic Forum, Joe. And so you'll see a lot of the glitterati, the ones who have got private jets who park down there in Queenstown. I read a piece recently from Queenstown News that there were so many private jets from overseas parked on the Queenstown tarmac that people were shocked. So where are these people? But this is the bolt hole for for what's going on as well. And so, again, and see, we've got to also look at the fact is that there's a rush to clamp on our water in this country. And we have a situation where the government is wanting to fluoridate all water and also chlorinate fresh water. I get my water from a particular deep well, and they're wanting to chlorinate that well as well. It's just, it's profound. Don't know who the driver of this is above our government or within government. And all I can say is that it doesn't matter if it's Labor or National. At the moment, Labor is pushing this agenda, and all the National Party are cowering under their desks for some unknown reason. They're not saying anything. And I remember
they're the same masters.
That's right. They're of one bird. One's the left wing and one's the right wing. And that's how they are. And I know the Stephen Browning, I don't know if you...
Yes, I know Stephen.
Dear Stephen, he was a Green MP, and he came out against the GCSB, the Government Security Communications Bureau, in about 2012, and he really went for the system at the moment, and he was the only parliamentarian who was standing up in the Green Party, took this portfolio away from him because he was actually starting to make waves.
Yes. Yeah, well, political party. I mean, it's almost not worth talking about political parties and governments because they're seriously just middlemen. And I put them in the same category all over the world right now. They've been corrupted to a level where we can call them all equivalent to the French collaborators in France when the Nazis invaded. They're all collaborators. And they know they're between a rock and a hard place because they must serve their masters, but if things go south for them, they know what's going to happen. And they're in way over their heads, especially small government leaders like New Zealand and small countries. They're pretty much small fry, and they know that if people wake up and things go south, they're going to be in the position of the French collaborators.
Oh, yes. Well, as you know, there's little cells or groups. I showed up at one just on Friday night. I was invited to go to some person's place, and there was a number of people there, and they are a little cell of good people. They have a metaphysical and a spiritual base, and they're holistic thinkers, and they are starting up a little group, and then they're wanting to go out and start other little groups or join other groups in the region, and this is what's happening. I know of numerous people think, well, look, the best way we do it is we start with in our suburbs or in our community and collect as little cells and then groups of cells and then clusters of cells and start building up like that. And this is then start cross-fertilizing and pollinating and sharing, because we cannot trust the telephone or our computer because we know that big tech is sucking in all this information just like this telephone call to you, Joe. It's going through Waihopai and Blenheim, the Five Eyes. And so that's the nature of the beast.
Exactly, and the tyranny of words, too. Just the fact of you using the word sell, they'll call you a terrorist for that.
That's right. Yes, he's part of a terrorist cell. Yeah, I know.
No, they know exactly who everyone is and what they've been watching and what they've been sharing and what they've been saying. I mean, it's well beyond that now. I mean, they have fear of that.
I'm speaking with Joe Rafici of Nelson on how we can flip everything sunny side up.
You know, and I understand fear is their main weapon, of course. If people did not fear or had, well, for instance, if they had empowerment over their own health and hadn't fallen prey to this petrochemical, agricultural, pharmaceutical, medical, industrial complex for so many decades, they would have some power over their own health and not be so fearful of this propaganda, because they would know how to take care of themselves. So, once again, that's another form of disempowerment, why they're so fearful of this alleged, you know, pandemic. And so, yeah, it's all based on fear and disempowerment. But I don't know how much time we have left, but I did want to get into some positive vision.
Excellent, Joe. Excellent, Joe. We've got, believe it or not, we've got another 20 minutes.
Great. Okay. What I wanted to talk about was this, well, as I say, I have an intuitive feeling based on, yeah, just my intuition about New Zealand and its role in the past as being a model and a guiding light for the world. Though it's a small country, it has been an example, a shining example on several fronts in history, the most recent being, well, partially with genetic engineering, but especially with nuclear in the past. But apart from that history, I just intuitively feel that this is going to be the place to be and a real beacon of an example and a light for the rest of the world. And associated with that was the fact of kind of out in left field, I've always been a fan of Tolkien. I mean, I read all of Tolkien's books in secondary school, and when I came to New Zealand, I probably had already read them several times. And out of synchronicity and wondrously, all of a sudden the film was being made in New Zealand. And even before that, I felt like, wow, this is Middle Earth when I arrived here. And then the films being made here was really amazing synchronicity. And I feel that those books and the film did not give as full a comprehension of the prescience of Tolkien that the books gave, of course, but they're pretty good. But the mythological context of the whole mythos of Middle-earth and the complacent and happy Shire, and then what it faced with this evil that was not even acknowledged except by the few who were taken by Gandalf into the thick of it, that's all very, very analogous to what's happening today, I think. And I really feel that this will be the place where people wake up. And an interesting thing about the books versus the films was there was a chapter at the end of the book, Lord of the Rings, second to last chapter, I believe, called The Scouring of the Shire.
Correct.
And that was a chapter that was left out of the movie. Now, whether that was on purpose, as a result of the film studio not wanting to put that in people's minds or whatever, it was left out in any case. And that, I felt, was one of the most important and satisfying chapters in the book.
Yes.
Because the hobbits returned from the war with Sauron and came home to their town, which we can call, you can call that analogous or metaphor for New Zealand, came home to their town and saw that it was taken over by these thugs, basically middlemen, and they were called Sharky's men because they were the lackeys and thugs of Saruman, the wizard who had gone to the dark side. And their town was being destroyed, and trees were coming down, and factories were going up, and basically everyone was under lockdown, basically curfews and lockdown. And they basically looked at these thugs and laughed at them because they were as nothing, because they had been through so much and had not a shred of fear of these thugs, and basically awakened the people of their shire to rise up and rout these creatures. And it was a critical chapter of the book and a very important closure for what had happened. And so I feel that New Zealand is awaiting their scouring of the Shire, and they will achieve that critical mass at some point. I think we're starting to see it now. we're starting to see, because of this blessing of an added few months before people are damaged by this vaccine, I think we're starting to see that with the High Court case against the government for not obeying the law of the Medicines Act, that this vaccine was only given approval under a section that says it can only be used provisionally for a limited number of people, in which the pros outweigh the cons. In other words, the spirit and intent of it was for emergency cases in which you use something that isn't given full approval because it might be beneficial in that instance for a limited number of people, and this government wants to use that illegally to roll it out to the entire population. So that's what's being challenged, and that's going to be lodged today, this high court case. We're seeing Voices for Freedom. We're seeing doctors and nurses come out more against this, even here. And we have seen this woman, Pauline Hanna, in Remuera,
yes,
die on the day of her second dose.
Yes, she died on her second injection.
And how that media is attempting to cover that up. And people will hear about this. And I am confident that critical mass is already approaching.
Thank you.
And I have great optimism that this country will be one of the first to turn this around.
Thank you, Joe. Yes, I agree. I honestly think that New Zealand itself is on the opposite side to Greenwich and London, England. And London has also been known as a great controller of finances globally. And so we have a polarity on many levels of what that's all about. And as you say, we've done some profound things, particularly when women got the vote back in 1893. And we've done some fantastic things with the 8-hour working day. And for New Zealanders now, anybody who have the privilege to be born into this country, really, really, we've been given a gift to, and I think it's really important for us to also, and I want to be able to keep saying this, that we're spiritual beings having an earth experience, and it's time for people to realize when we take a breath of oxygen, that will ignite our inner candle. So breathing and breathing deeply, the more oxygen you've got coming into your lungs, the greater the opportunity for you to ignite your inner candle and get fired up, because we need to have fire in the belly at the same time to be able to do this. And it's recognizing your neighbour, being able to communicate over fence and over fence and over fence wherever you may be. And again, farmers markets across New Zealand, what a wonderful way for people to be able to come and network and get the most important of food, which I trust is all organic, specifically to feed our brain. We have to have the best in vitality and vitamins and minerals. But with permaculture and with biological and regenerative farming, that's really important.
Biodynamics.
And, yeah, biodynamics. There's so many different ways in which we can farm today that takes out all the chemicals. They're talking about farmers in the South Island say, well, you have to have all of this urea and God knows what else to keep our farm production up. That's a firthy if ever there was one. We can
profits up, they mean.
Yeah,
they think.
Yeah,
think.
Yeah. Regenerative agriculture sorts that out completely. We can clean up our rivers, we can clean up our lakes, we can clean up everything by actually just looking at biological, regenerative, biodynamics and organics. And we can, New Zealand can be the, should we say, the vegetable fruit food bowl for the whole Pacific Basin. But we have to, and again, it comes down to the fact we've got to, through numbers, be able to push back on the government and have them say organic, because they don't want to utter those words. We don't hear it from the health department either, Joe. They just don't talk healthy, vital food with life force. We need to hear from the health department talking to New Zealanders right at this moment. We're going into winter. It's going to be cold. That's when the colds and flu come in. But we never hear them at any time say vitamin C, have as much fruit as possible, do some exercises, get out there barefoot for a wee while on the grass.
Yep.
All the sort of thing.
Vitamin D. Oh, no. No, because all coronavirus colds and flus will now be called COVID. It doesn't suit them to have anyone empower themselves in that way. So, you know, that's all feeds into this narrative. All they've They've game planned it and scenario planned it perfectly. Everything that is going to occur will be fed into their narrative. So when they tell you that you're perpetuating the virus because you didn't get vaccinated, that has to be turned around, and people have to be told when they attack the unvaccinated have to tell them, you have contaminated yourself. Stay away from me. Keep your distance. You are shedding pathogens and God knows what else. Stay away from me. And make them the pariah because they are trying to make you the pariah.
And their thought process, they're using their thoughts to program us with their darkness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're invested. They're invested in their fear and invested in their slavish adherence to authority. Authority, and I don't want to make it a confrontational, oppositional here. Because I do understand where people are at. But it is this empowerment also is very aligned with, you know, your relationship to your concept of authority. And when you're self-empowered and know who you are, you know that you're the ultimate authority in anything and have a proper relationship to any authority which might be necessary or practical in your society. And you understand when it is not. And that's a big part of the problem. And there's even, I mean, the backlash is even coming out now where there's a whole book about authority is one of people's view of authority is one of the main things that has caused more harm in our societies than anything else. And that's clearly what's happening now.
It is, yes. This is our big challenge here, again, is to be more lighthearted. I remember I was told that just after the Second World War, the British forces described New Zealanders who fought for them as long, lean, and ranging. And when we look at New Zealanders today, we need to find another way to empower them because, I mean, there's a lot of brilliance here, and yet, well, a lot of them leave. A lot of New Zealanders go overseas to be able to push themselves into a greater worldview. And we need to be able to have these people also come back to New Zealand and say, look, this is how...
they do, and many of them do, when they see what's out there.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, you're right. I mean, things have changed radically since the year 2000. And it's mostly because of this technology. And it's easy to despair. It's easy to think, my God, they have all this forces, all this technology. They can use electromagnetic frequencies on us. They can do this. They've got so many apparent aces up their sleeve. But I say that they cannot win. They are anything that is rotten to the core. You could have an apple that looks perfect on the outside. And if it's rotten to the core, it will implode upon itself out of its own rottenness. And it's only a matter of time that this unholistic alien mentality and corruption will implode upon itself. I don't know how long it will take, but it will. It will implode. So we only have to be patient and we only have to be empowered. And the more fearful we are, the worse the experience will be. And the less fearful we are, the faster this will be over with.
I agree. Do you remember the story of a never-ending story? That was about 40 years ago, Joe?
Yeah, vaguely.
The story was that nothing was eating around the edges of reality and it was coming closer and closer to the people in this world. And they didn't know what to do because the landscape started to just disappear and they were starting to retreat and retreat into a small center. And all of a sudden, they realized the way to stop the nothing was through creativity. Mm. And their creative spark allowed them to start to become innovative and have novel ideas. And then they realized the power of creation and started to make new ways or look at new ways to work together for the betterment of the whole. And in the end, the nothing had to fall away because these people started to create the world that they wanted. They worked together. And community came back, and et cetera. So that's the one big thing. And the other thing, too, and I think this is really important, Joe, is synchronicity. And I'm finding so much synchronicity is happening in my life. And I'm meeting people, and they will say a couple of words to me, and within seconds, we're going into a deep conversation about the challenges facing us and what we need to do. And you will have had many synchronicities in your life too?
Oh, absolutely. No, it is happening more and more. It barely takes a couple of sentences now to suss out whether you're on the same wavelength as you. And it's totally unexpected. There are people you would never imagine awakened, and they are. You start talking to someone and think, well, this person probably doesn't look at the things I look at or have the same background or any of the much in common. And you start talking to them and realize, well, you're on the same page.
That's right. And it doesn't matter if it's your petrol station or your dentist or your hairdresser. I know I'm finding this all the time too. And it instills a wonderful feeling of think, wow, you're not alone. And there's more and more people awakening. And this is what I want to be able to talk about, is that more and more people now are starting to look deeper. They're going into a lot of other websites too, from BitChute.com to Rumble.com and Brightian.com. And Google is not your friend. And I'm telling people all the time, don't go to Google and YouTube. Be aware that YouTube has got some good stuff still there, because if they took all the good stuff, they would have nothing.
No one would watch.
They would have nothing. That's quite true. And so this is one thing. And the other thing is, because we're here to benefit the world, the children, the creation, the universe, Murphy's Law goes a lot easier for us. But if you're a darkie, and if you live in the shadows, and Murphy's Law comes to you as well, well, I can assure you, Murphy's Law hammers them far more. Because
I was going to say the same thing, that in a project, an evil project this ambitious, to take over every country of the world and decimate the population all over the world and life itself, because don't forget that EMFs will decimate all forms of life. To take on a project that ambitious, I don't care if they've game-planned this with think tanks 24/7 for 50 years. There will be so many wild cards that they could never have predicted due to synchronicity and due to the fact that good will always overcome this dysfunctional and dissonant forces and vibrations that they have, that they could never predict all the things that are going to happen to them or their plans.
Thank you, Joe. It's actually quite hilarious, because why would you want to do what they're doing? I mean, they are closing out all the time. The hole is going to get deeper and deeper for them. I can't. Mm-hmm. It's stupidity, actually.
No, it's addiction. It's beyond, I mean, these people don't worry about money anymore. They could never spend it all. It is their mainlining on power. Heroin is nothing. Heroin is vitamin C compared to what they're mainlining on.
Yeah, I know. It's a very, very dark agenda, and we won't go there today, but I can assure you, at the higher echelons, they're vampires. So, look, Joe, I want to also be able to mention intuition. How's your intuition at the moment? Pretty good.
Pretty good, I think. Yeah, I mean, not in the sense of, having a sense of things that I'm very confident in. I'm quite confident in my sense of things, and I wouldn't easily be shaken in what I believe and what I feel is really going on in that sense. I don't have a lot of everyday amazing occurrences of intuition necessarily being right. Well, not on some kind of startling level anyway. I mean, I have certainly good intuition regarding who to talk to and who is not not going to be productive, that kind of thing.
Yes. Well, I mean, the beauty of it is that we are in a very fortunate situation. I'm speaking, say, on behalf of you and I, Joe, because we've, in many ways, come through a certain school of hard knocks. We've had to learn, to grow, and we've become more wise as a result. And this is what we can do, is we can share our wisdom and we can share our knowingness, particularly with the young people too, because, I mean, I would like a mentoring situation to come up soon where we can share with the young ones coming through and say, well, look, I've been down this road. This is where we got burnt, so we don't need to go there. And just to be able to point them in the right direction, because there are so many good human beings on this planet. I mean, I'm astounded that they're there, and we just need to be able to just help them or nudge them in the right direction to take care of theirs and our future.
Yeah, well, the vast majority, I mean, I believe in the basic goodness of most of humanity, unless they're, you know, even if they're severely damaged psyches, they're still basically good. But there are certain forces which seem incorrigible. But I think that, on the other hand, even those of us that are trying to help the situation, we have to be realistic. We're not our brother's keeper. We can do what's put in front of us because we deem it's the right thing to do, and we wouldn't want to live with ourselves otherwise. But we cannot be attached to results, because everyone is on their own journey. Everyone has their own karma. Everyone has their own lessons to learn. And we can't judge what lessons those might be for any of us. So I think that we have to have a certain level of detachment. We certainly have compassion, but a certain level of detachment, and not believe that we can change everybody just because we have a perspective that might be wider.
Yes, I realize every flower petal that opens up in its own time. And that's how it works. We cannot force the blossoming of flowers.
No, and we have to be realistic. There will be many who will awaken, and there will be many who won't. And it's all perfect for some reason unfathomable to us, our intellect.
Joe, I want to say thank you for this superb overview. It allows us to get an understanding. I interviewed Bill Watson about 4 weeks ago, and he said...
Oh, did you?
Yes, and he said that this plan that they've been planning for the last, 500 years, 100 years, but particularly in the last, say, since the end of the war, of actually taking hold of this planet and its people, that now that they're operating this plan, they're exposed now, and they can't turn back at all. They have to go forward. Whatever horrible reason they've got, they cannot now hide from it, and so they're very exposed. And so we'll start to see greater and greater chinks, because they're also panicking on so many levels solely because of the rate of people waking up and using the media in such a way that a telephone call, a text, a quick email, messenger, a telegram, Facebook, it's coming at them in so many different directions, and so the mass of humanity are going to flower and taking back our planet. This is what I...
Yep. One of their wild cards, Tim, is that they may have scenario planned every reaction that we might have in their counter reaction, but the timeline is not going the way they want it to go. So that every time they expose themselves and people wake up, they have to go further, and they're walking a razor's edge, because every time they do something more forceful and more obvious, more people wake up, and the more they have to do. So exactly, they're exposing themselves at a rate that they would have preferred to be a lot slower.
Oh, yes, yes, I understand that. It was like nobody could find the aeroplane that disappeared in the hole in Shanksville on 9/11. A whole aeroplane disappeared into a hole, and nothing resembling any part of an aeroplane was found. And they sold that to the American and the world public, and they took it. It's like what happened to the Pentagon. It was obviously not an aeroplane, no wings, no fuselage. And yet they use their tame media, and people got to get it, that the mainstream media in the world, and this includes all the way down to New Zealand, TV1, TV3, Radio New Zealand, they're all on the drip feed.
And people have to realize that not only would corporate media carry this agenda anyway, but our government has gone so far as to bribe them with $53 million in the first hit and promise of another $50 million over the next couple of years. This government has actually bribed mass media not to divert from the soap opera of the state.
I know, and they are our elected servants that are doing it.
With our tax money.
Yeah, I mean, the audacity. I mean, Obama had the audacity of hope. Well, this is the audacity on audacity that they're actually getting away with it.
It's also the psychology of the bully. As they just push it as far as the victim will allow themselves to be pushed. They will not stop as long as we do not say no.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe. Joe, this is...
Thank you, Tim.
This is excellent, and I'm just wanting... All I can say is, so far, so good. Come on, New Zealanders. I know we're capable of so much. If Sir Edmund Hillary could climb the highest mountain on this planet, and then also we can have the atom split by Lord Rutherford, I'm sure we can do the next act of basically taking our government back, making sure that our children are taken care of for our coming future, and that we are successful as a humanity here in this country.
Exactly. There's nothing to fear, and this shall not pass in the end. And thank you, Tim, for making this forum available and for doing it for so long. Really, congratulations to you.
Oh, well, Joe, thank you. It's because there's also people out like you doing it across New Zealand and around the planet. We're here to transcend service to self, and we're here for the service to the greater good, and that's all we can do. And also that when I put my head on my pillow at night, I can just close my eyes and go to God. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, Joe. Well, look, I think this is fantastic. And
yeah, thank you.
I wish you and Susan well. I wish you and Susan Gray well and Nelson, and that we start the great comeback.
Yep. The High Court case goes today.
Yes, and today is Monday, and so on. The broadcast goes on Thursday.
Great. Okay. I'll listen for it. Thank you, Tim. Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, again, cheers, brother, and I look forward to speaking to you sometime soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Joe Rafici from Nelson. This is a public health planetary announcement. There's a serious pandemic sweeping the globe. It's called the propaganda virus. It's affecting billions of people around the planet every day. The propaganda virus is a neurolinguistic pathogen created by humans as a biological weapon for mind control. It is comprised of language, cultural symbols, and memes designed to manipulate the masses towards a particular point of view in order to control opinions and behavior. The virus is transmitted through all forms of media communication and is particularly prevalent during political seasons. The propaganda virus spreads by getting others to accept a proposition without challenge on logical, factual, or judicial grounds and to act in service to those false beliefs, sidestepping critical response in favor of emotional reaction. Repetition of suggestion or insinuation is one of the most effective means the virus uses to infect the masses. Those affected may experience loss of personal agency and or rational independent thought, which can lead to hatred, disillusional thinking, severe depression, extreme emotional volatility, and in some cases deadly aggression towards self and others. Since the advent of the internet and social media, the propaganda virus can now spread like wildfire through the airwaves of the entire global community in real time. The propaganda virus is highly contagious and can survive undetected in the human brain, disguised as personal conviction, so protect your immune system through a build-up of critical thinking skills. Do not consume or share media from biased sources with an agenda, and be sure to cleanse your brain daily with meditation while cultivating a positive mental attitude, as negativity, fear, worry, and stress is a breeding ground for infection. If you believe you've been infected by the propaganda virus, then stop ingesting mass media. Immediately pet a dog or cat and consume healthy doses of nature until fear subsides and rational clarity is restored. All is well. 100% of those reading this will probably die anyway, eventually. In the meantime, it is advised that you live happily and spread love instead of fear. Remember joy. Thank you. That was by Donna Trousdale, MA Linguistic Psychology. Decide to network. Use every letter you write, every conversation you have, every meeting you attend, every email you send. And remember, even Facebook. To tweet and to express your fundamental beliefs and dreams. Affirm to others the vision of the world you want. Network through thought. Network through action. Network through love. Network through the spirit. You are the center of a network. You are the center of the world. You are a free, immensely powerful source of life and goodness. Affirm it, spread it, radiate it. Think day and night about it, and you will see a miracle happen. The greatness of your own life in a world of big powers, media and monopolies. But of 7.8 billion individuals, networking is the new freedom, the new democracy, a new transparency, and a new form of wholeness and happiness. This originated by Dr. Robert Mueller, Chancellor of the World Peace University in Costa Rica, Central America. This is Tim Lynch in the spirit of Aroha.